So when my daughter came to Israel and we were at a restaurant, I called the waitress and I said, Sliha. And I called the waitress over, and later my daughter said to me, well, how did you know the waitress's name? And I said, no, Sliha, that wasn't her name. That means, in Hebrew, that means excuse me. It can also mean sorry, like, excuse me, sorry to bother you. So if you come to Israel, and that's one of the first words you'll probably learn is Sliha. Because you'll be bumping into people, people will be bumping into you, or you'll be wanting to call your waitress over, and so you'll say, Sliha. So I noticed on our bookshelf that we have two books with that in big letters they say Slihot. So I asked, why do we have books that say the excuse me books, or why do we have, anyway, I found out that these books, Slihot is really translates to forgiveness, and this whole book is dedicated to forgiveness prayers. And this whole season that we're in right now, it's like preseason. So if you thought the NFL invented preseason, no, they didn't. It's been around for a long time. With Israel, preseason is it's a season of repentance, because we're not getting ready for the big football game. We're getting ready for three holy days coming up, three big days coming up. So just like with the NFL, you can't get to the night before the game or a week before the game and think that you're going to do well. You have a whole season, preseason, to get ready for the game. So this is where we're at right now. We have like a 40-day season to get ready. It's the season to make necessary changes. And so, what I find really fascinating about this whole thing is that it's not like one year is going to come around and we have to say, well, I wonder if it's necessary for us to have, a time of repentance this year. No, it's like a day set in stone on the Hebrew calendar year after year. It's like we're expected. God expects that we're going to make mistakes. And well, if anything, we're supposed to make mistakes, because to err is human. If we didn't make mistakes, we'd be nothing but robots. So mistakes, we learn from our mistakes. And I heard one way to put it is that there's a string between us and God. And when we do something that separates us from God, when we sin, the string breaks. But then we repent or return, and there's a knot. We put a knot in the string, so the string becomes shorter and the string becomes stronger in that place. And so it's not like it's not supposed to be. The only thing that would be horrible about making a mistake is to stay there and stay in a state of depression and to not fix it. But ever since the Israel sinned with the golden calf, and Moses had to go up for 40 days and beg God for mercy, it's just been there from the beginning, this thing that is automatic in the calendar year after year, this preseason, the season of repentance, because we're coming up to the holiest day of the year, the day of Yom Kippur. And when that gets closer, I'll talk more about that. But so the season right now is like the sliha, the sorry, excuse me, or the slihot, the prayer, the extra, every prayer that's ever been written, I think, is in this book on forgiveness and asking forgiveness and asking for mercy for every kind of sin, for ourselves, for Israel, for the world. All the psalms and scriptures and writings are in this book, and this is the book that we read this time of year. And I just saw in the beginning of this book, it says that King David was anguished when he prophetically saw the destruction of the Holy Temple. And he said, how will the Jews atone for their sins? And God replied, when suffering befalls the Jews because of their sins, they should gather before me in complete unity, and together they shall confess their sins and recite the order of the Slihot, and I will answer their prayers. So God is our King and our Father. We say Avinu Malkeinu. God Avinu is our Father, Malkeinu is our King. So on the one hand, he is the King, there's rules to follow. The King makes the rules, the King makes sure the rules are followed, but on the other hand, we have Avinu, our Father. And this is the month. This is the month that we say the King is in the field. And so the King is more like the Father. He comes, and this is the time that even the lowliest people can go up to him, and he's accessible. And you can, he's a father that helps us, and that we can actually be close enough. He makes himself close to us so that we can actually whisper in his ear. And sometimes when we're reciting the prayers, I like to think like we're supposed to say the prayers out loud, and we're supposed, but not real out loud to bother anybody. But I heard it put this way. I'm sure it was by a woman, because women think like this, that like, say you go out to dinner in a restaurant and you're in a secluded table, with the one that you love, and you're talking in this tone of voice, like kind of like whispering in their ear. This is the tone of voice that we're supposed to say our prayers. And I love to think about that, like that, to say the prayers as a like a whisper into God's ears. And at first, you know, when I would say prayers, I didn't really understand about like reciting prayers. And but you know, King David, he wrote these psalms. A lot of these prayers are his psalms. And just like I think of it now, like just like when you have your favorite song, you know, he was such a gifted songwriter and musician. And so we're so thankful that all of us can't write these beautiful songs, but when we hear the songs, we believe, oh, that's my song. That song just says it all. That's our song for us. That song is talking about our relationship. And so these prayers, that when we say these prayers, it's like maybe we didn't write these psalms, but we get it. We get what he was saying. We say, yes, that you say it just so perfect. I want to. And so when we say the prayers, we're saying it like we're saying it. We're saying the words that David wrote, but we're saying it like, yes, you know, we can't improve on this. This, of course, we say our own prayers too, but it's just beautiful that we have these psalms, because he expressed everything that we want to say to God. And so we spend this month in doing extra prayers in our getting ready for the big game, getting ready for the big fall holidays that are coming up, the fall holy days. So just like if you're a parent or a teacher, and you don't have kids and think that they're never going to mess up, you have a system in place. And that's what God does. God has this calendar in place, this season in place, almost like, you know, if you're getting to the last month, say in the school year, and you're failing, and the teacher reaches out to you and offers you a way to get it right, offers you a last-ditch effort kind of a thing, and so that you can show one last time that you maybe you blew it all year, but this is your last chance to make some changes, to redo some things, to put out that effort. And this is where we're at right now. And so it's kind of called, you know, the I'm sorry season. And you know how there's ways to say you're sorry, like sorry, or sorry, or sorry. You know, don't we love that when our kids say it like that? You know, so in the same way, of course, God, it's not just, you know, they could say, well, I said I was sorry. And the thing is that we're not just supposed, yes, we're supposed to say we're sorry, but we're supposed to mean it, and we're supposed to fix it. And that's, so I was reading this article about this woman that she used the paradigm of dieting to go along with this idea of repenting. And she said, you know, she realized that when somebody truly repents, it should be noticeable. You know, it should be something tangible that you could actually see, just like if you know, you should be able to see if someone is sorry. And so she took some of the dieting advice and she applied it to repenting, and I thought it was good. Like the first thing was, you know, you have to confess it. You have to be honest with yourself. So whether it's, you know, looking in the mirror, this is what she said. Last year at this time, she looked in the mirror. She didn't like what she saw. And so she had been making excuses. And so finally she just decided to just admit that something had to be done, and then started getting up early every day and changed a few things. And over a year's time, now she's 13 pounds lighter. And so that's the thing too. Like, crash diets aren't sustainable, so we don't work on all of our bad character traits all at one time. And they say, you know, make your list of everything that you would like to change, then pick one thing, then break it down into four areas and start with the easiest one. It's called, you know, baby steps. This is how, just like, you know, you don't want to start something, get burnout, and then here we are this time next year, and we haven't really made any changes because nothing stuck. And so it's the same thing, you know, like that with the diet. You take on something that you can do, a lifestyle change that you feel like you can do the rest of your life. I think what she did was she gave up Diet Coke. So those two things, like she got up early and walked 4 miles a day, and she gave up Diet Coke. And over a year's time, you know, those are things that she can do as a lifestyle change. So that's what we're doing now. It's like, it's not like, we're trying to compare ourselves to anybody else spiritually. We can't be Moses, we can't be Abraham or Sarah. Physically, you're not going to be the Barbie doll or Incredible Hulk, but you start realistically, and all you want to do is be the best you can be, and a little bit fit and a little bit healthier version of yourself than you were that last year. And so that's how it is with repenting. It's the goal is to be better this year, and it's about moving ahead. It's a process of becoming the more complete whole person that you were meant to be, because each one of us here has a task that we're supposed to do that no one else can do. And so that's what we're not here to. God's not going to say, so why weren't you like Moses? He's going to say, were you the best you could be? So that's what we're trying to do this time of year. So there's something that people say this time of year, Shana Tova. Shana Tova, and I just found out that Shana has two meanings, and so it can mean, let's see, it can mean repeat or change. So the parts of our life that were good, we want to repeat. So we say, I bless you with Shana Tova, have a good repeat. And then the things that need change, you say, Shana Tova, have a good change. So it's kind of a paradox, but there's a lot of that in Hebrew. So there's this idea of asking God for help, you know, like maybe I go back and I wish I could redo. And that's what this repentance is. It's about returning back and returning back to God. And then when you have a chance to do it over, when this same thing keeps coming up, this time, God, can you help me get it right? And this is that father part of God. Like, he's there to help. He's like, I'm here, I'm in the field, I'm close by. This is the season to tap into. Of course, you can change any time of year, but this is just like considered the best season to put out those efforts, because God is accessible. He's making himself available to us. And so I'm just very excited about that. This is, let's see, I think this is day 8, and I've been getting up an hour and a half early every day so far, and doing things that I've been saying I don't have time to do, and now I'm doing them. So one of the things is learning to read Hebrew. And when my daughter was here, I think she was learning Hebrew. She knew more in the 10 days that she was here than I have in 4 years. So she inspired me to get busy. I would really like to be able to say some of the prayers in Hebrew. And so slowly, slowly, baby steps, I'm doing it, and it feels good. Okay, Shana Tova.